Page 357. As the choir comes up. By the way, if you want to sing in the choir, go ahead. Come on up. Talk to me. We always need more people in choir. Let's sing. Work for the Night is Coming.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done.
On the second.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sore and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man's work no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tents are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam faded, faded to shine no more. Work for the night is darkening when man's work is o'er.
Amen. Well, guess we need to get to work. Amen. And now's the time. It's good to see you all. Trust God is going to bless a beautiful way today. We're thankful for the opportunity to be right here where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be magnified and lifted up. And it's all about Him. Not about you, not about me, it's not about us. It's about the God of glory, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a couple of minutes. Church family, get around. Welcome our visitors, if you will.
Thank you.
if you'll grab your hymn books again, let's turn to 292. 292, and then we'll be going straight to 220.
I've seen the lightning flashing, I've heard the thunder roll, I've felt sin's breakers dashing, which almost conquered my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior, bidding me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, no, never alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
On the last,
He died on Calvary's mountain, for me they pierced His side. For me He opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me He waiteth in glory, seated upon His throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, He'll claim me for His own. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
220, please. 220.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still His God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful foe when I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
On the last,
and when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in desperate way I will not flee, still not through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful foe when I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Please be seated. Thank you. trust God, don't we? Please stand with us one more time. Let's turn to 243. Sing the first and last verse.
I am resolved no longer to linger, drawn by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to them, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest lion, I will come to thee.
Amen. You can be seated.
Please come forward for this morning's offering. Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's good to be with you this morning, and visitors, it's good to have you. Announcements. Brother Chad Haiti, church planner, will be at our evening service tonight. It is not too late to apply at Texas Theological University and Seminary. Please get with Ms. Sarah Evans. Would you like to be a volunteer, a youth? You can be volunteers. We need nursery workers, greeters, prayer warriors, children's church, and men's breakfast, July the 27th at 9 a.m. And please continue to pray for our Hope Ministry, which takes place every Friday at 7 p.m. And basketball Monday nights at 6 p.m. Those of you that like to play some ball. I kind of like playing ball a little bit, but Brother Jeffrey elbowed me in the face and I almost lost my teeth. That was not fun. So I think we need some mouthpieces or something. And Brother Mark. Where's Brother Mark? Almost broke his leg coming in the paint. Calvary Baptist Church in Eufaula, Oklahoma, Ladies Retreat, 7th grade and up, August the 16th and August the 17th. Sign up at the Welcome Center. Please get with Miss Marsha by tonight. I think tonight's the last night. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your grace. And Father, we thank you for your Son. And it is in his precious name that we're here today. We ask, Father God, that you be with our pastor as he preaches your word this morning. And we pray if there's any here lost, Lord, that do not know Jesus Christ, I pray that they not lead that way. I pray, Father God, that we, the Metropolitan Baptist Church, can be that light here in this community to reach those that have no hope, Lord, and to bring hope to the home, Lord, in Jesus Christ. And we pray for this morning's service. We ask that you bless it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
ladies are getting, we can't come ahead, ladies. While the ladies are getting ready to sing, somebody asked me why I was glowing today. And we have a different light here. It's so hot I can't touch it. But we're playing around with some lighting in the auditorium, trying to improve the lighting in general, but also all that in preparation for the upgrades to our video streaming and the recording of the services. Say that, two reasons, just to explain what we're doing. So if things seem to be changing or they see what's going on with that, you understand. But also that encourage folks to continue to give towards that project. We're approximately halfway towards that, and I sure commend our church family and thank you. And so please continue to pray and continue to give as we move forward with that project. Turning this morning to the Gospel of John in chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. We'll be looking at a few passages in the Gospel of John. Grateful for the Lord's mercies to us. The title of this morning's message is To Tell the Truth. To Tell the Truth. I guess there used to be it's still on. Is there still a show called Truth or Consequences or something like that? I think I used to watch that when I was a kid. But to tell the truth, let's stand together. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 17, where Jesus is here praying. This is the true Lord's Prayer, as He's expressing His heart to His Father in heaven. And in verse 17, as He prays, He says, "Sanctify them." Speaking of His disciples. "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them," His disciples, "into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Father, we are grateful and thankful for your mercies to us. Lord, I want to thank you for your truth, the Word of God. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help us today. I sense a great need in my own heart for you to get my flesh aside and to enter in and take complete, absolute control of everything that would be spoken across this holy desk. Lord, please give clarity, give illumination, give ears to hear for all of us, Lord, that we'd go from this place being able to declare it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Pray that we would hear your truth today, that we would recognize it for exactly what it is, your word, your truth to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. Most of us parents would confess that we're trying to teach our children the truth. Trying to teach them to tell the truth. Now, of course, that's very important. That's obviously important for a parent to do. But remember though, and I'm not discouraging you to do that, our children will be a truthful reflection of us many times. Be mindful of the old saying, out of the mouths of babes. More than once, my girls embarrass me by their honesty. And I'm going to leave it at that. Be careful. As parents, we need to be careful to live in such a way that we not need to be concerned about that reflection. We'll talk about truth. Philosophers, lawyers, educators, and even theologians have spent the ages trying to sort out, discern, debate, dissect just what truth is. Just what truth is and what is true. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? It's a real question. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? By that we mean truth that is certain. Truth that is complete and perfect. Stable, in a sense. I read a research report from the Barna Group. You know, they're famous for their surveys. Well, they did a survey some years ago on what Americans believed, and they asked the question, is there absolute truth? 66%, now listen to this, 66% of adults responded that they believed there was no such thing as absolute truth. Their idea was that different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. Interesting. 72% of those aged 18 to 25 expressed that belief. Sorry, young people. Their conclusions were that truth is whatever you believe. Truth is whatever you believe. And again, that there is no absolute truth. If there were such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know what it is? Well, I got an idea for him. Then this as well came out of that survey. People who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. Wow. Well, what about that? Is truth relative? Is truth whatever you believe truth is? Are people dangerous that believe that there is absolute truth? Well, the Bible declares there is truth. The Bible declares there is truth that does not change, and that there is absolute truth. And by the way, I believe the Bible. Does that make me dangerous?
I'm glad I didn't hear no amens on that. But way back, I worked construction for a while, building houses with a crew. One day while I was working, and I was spent a lot of time on the ground at the cutting station, and while I was while the guy up on the scaffolding was hollering different measurements to me, and I'm cutting, trying to keep up with him, and the end of my tape reel broke off. You know that end has the bend on it, but along with the end of it, about a half inch, the last half inch or first half inch, I guess you would say, of my tape reel broke off with it. Well, that's kind of hard to measure things without that end on your tape reel. I probably could have done something, you know, maybe taped it back on or something, but it would have been a problem. Because the rest of the day, everything I cut could have been a half inch short. Could have explained why every time I cut something, no matter how many times I cut it, it still came up short. Well, we need to judge all things by the truth. Why? Because there has to be a standard, beloved. There has to be a standard. Now, with me and my tape rule, in many ways, that's a relatively minor problem. I make tape rules every day. But it illustrates how important it is to have a reliable standard. A reliable standard of what is true. Now think about this. It's essential. It is. If you're going to listen to anything all day, listen to this. It's essential that the truth we are staking our lives and our eternities on be reliable. It's important that that which we stake our eternal destinies on is true. Friend, brother and sister, what are you depending upon to be true in your life? Are you receiving a reliable message to live your life by? Jesus prayed. He said to his Father in verse 8 of our chapter, listen to this, chapter 17 of John, verse 8. He says, "For I have given unto them," again speaking of his disciples, "for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." What's Jesus talking about? The words that God gave him. Look at verse 14. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Then in verse 17, as we read a moment ago, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." An absolute standard has been given to us. Absolute truth has been revealed to us in the Word of God. Turn over with me into the next chapter. Chapter 18 of Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ has been arrested, carried off, finds himself in the governor's palace. And in verse 33 of John 18, it says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews?" Again, this rumor had been going around that Jesus had claimed to be a king. "Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. Finding him no fault at all. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? Simple words. Simple words. Verse 37 declares the simple truth concerning Jesus as he stood there before Pilate. In a few hours, in hours, he would be hanging on the cross. And as Jesus stands there before Pilate, of course, Pilate is trying to tell him, hey, you're in my hands. You've been given to me to do with you what I will. And Jesus standing there bound before him, he says, For this cause came I into the world. I can imagine him as he stood there before Pilate and he held up his hands. Huh? For this cause I am come into the world. By that very statement, he was declaring his deity. He didn't say I was born there. He says, For this cause came I into this world. Then, and he says that I should bear witness of the truth. Excuse me. He said, To this end was I born, speaking of his humanity. And for this cause came I into the world, speaks of his deity. And he goes on. He says that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do we hear him? Does our God have, or have our ear? Would we listen to his words? In these passages, it's very clear that Jesus is declaring that the Word of God is God's truth given to us. Do we have ears to hear his voice? Jesus' entire earthly walk, from his conception and birth unto his death, was a testimony of eternal truth. Pilate glibly asked him, Well, what is truth? Little did Pilate understand. Little did he realize that the very personification of truth was standing in front of him. Amen. Truth in the flesh stood there in front of his Roman eyes. Wow. And if we are not careful, we'll reject the obvious truth that God has been pleased to give to us. Beloved, you could be in this church building this morning, hear the clear gospel truth, leave and ignore it and go on your way, just as Pilate did. And miss the truth. The truth is that Jesus was born, becoming flesh and blood, so that he, the very Son of God, could pay the sin debt, pay the wages, the price of man's sin. Then and now, all who hear, all who believe and receive the truth, all who receive the truth should be saved. become a child of God. Wow. If not the underlying message of the Bible is that God is truth. It can't be anything else. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ declares there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 17, 17, we read a few moments ago, where it says, Thy word is truth. In John chapter 16, and verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to the Holy Spirit of God as the Spirit of truth. And that He, the Holy Spirit of God, will guide you into all truth. God given us truth. God wants us to know the truth. He wants everyone in this room, every one of us here today, to know the most important truth that there is. Most important truth that any person could ever come to know. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth that sets us free. The Lord Jesus Christ is liberating truth. Back a few chapters in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8. John chapter 8. These famous words here, familiar words. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 30, it says this, As He spake these words, many believed on Him. As He spake these words. What words? The words of truth concerning Himself. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. Or in reality. The word indeed there means truly. Truly. He goes on. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ is the truth that sets man free. Huh? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember the moment when Jesus Christ set you free? Hopefully you can. I remember. I remember the night when I just simply asked those words, Jesus, save me. Huh? It was amazing. It was amazing. It wasn't like the light started blinking and the bells rang and all. But in my heart of hearts, I knew that God had done something in me. I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that God had accomplished something in my soul. Huh? By the way, I haven't got over it yet. Haven't got over it yet. Hallelujah. How do we get to God? We get to God through His Son. Remind, we said a moment ago where Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the verse goes on to say what? No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Who's the Father? The God of glory is the Father. The God. The one God, the true God, the only God, the God of truth. Now, beloved, get this right now. Anything that does not line up with His truth is a lie. Huh? Anything that does not line up with the truth of God is a lie. Huh? So it doesn't matter what... I'm going to try to say this carefully. It doesn't matter what I believe. It's what God says that matters. I don't make this book true or not true by me, by my believing it or not. It is true because God said it. Uh-huh. Jesus said concerning his disciples in John 17, remember, he said, I have given them, my followers, my disciples, your words. He was speaking to his Father. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, and they have received them. Huh? They received the truth as the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to them. The truth of the Word of God. Yes. True salvation is not something that you did at some point in your life. Salvation is not simply agreeing with the words of some preacher. Salvation is not reciting a prayer. Trying to be very careful here. Salvation is knowing the truth, capital T, Jesus Christ. It's knowing the God of truth, knowing Jesus. You're saved if you know Jesus Christ. You and I need to start from a certain and a sure foundation. We must, not need, we must have a standard of truth. And this Bible declares that God is truth. Because of that, we'll say, make a statement. Because of that, all truth is God's truth. All truth, now you think it through, all truth is God's truth. And because of this basic and foundational truth, we find that there's some things that go along with that. Number one, God's truth is, and this is a redundant statement, God's truth is forever eternal. Use a double word there to make that statement. God's truth is forever eternal. Now, what we're saying, what we're trying to say is that truth has no beginning or end. When did one and one become two? When some mathematician decided? It's always been true. It just is. There was no time when that became truth. When did murder become wrong? Murder's wrong because it's wrong. Goes along with this principle. In fact, we learn from the problems of the first family that had that God held Cain responsible, did He not, for the murder of his brother. Truth is eternal. Now listen to this. I'm not trying to wax eloquent or be philosophical. Truth is eternal because God is eternal. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. His truth is eternal. First, because there is truth. And secondly, because we can know the truth. We know the truth through our God. Some may object that truth can be true one day, but another day it might not be true. Somebody was commenting earlier that yesterday was such a nice day. And it was a beautiful day. I don't know what the temperature got up to. Something somewhere in the low 90s. I don't know what it's going to be tomorrow. But you say, well, tomorrow the temperature will be different. Well, yeah, but it doesn't change. At 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, it was 90-some degrees and sunny. Doesn't matter how long, how many years from now, 100 years, 1,000 years. On yesterday, that was the truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. Now listen to this. In Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. It declares there, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. How long? Forever. God's Word is eternal. And because it is eternal, it is eternally true. God's true and sure message to man concerning his soul is what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm thankful I can preach that today, tomorrow, and for the rest of eternity. It will not change. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 36, it says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Aren't you thankful that's true? He that hath believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those two things are true. Those who believe, have received the Lord Jesus Christ, have. They possess everlasting life. Those that believe not abide under the wrath of God. That, my friend, is the truth stated by the Word of God, not by me. But secondly, we also see that God's truth, it's eternal. And so this is a similar statement, but has its own meaning. God's truth is without change. God's truth does not change. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God declares, "For I am the Lord, I change not."
Amen.
I am the Lord, I change not. Now, if God is unchanging and God is truth, then truth does not change. Truth doesn't change. Philosophers over the centuries have, through their human wisdom, tried to put forth the idea that truth evolves. We're even hearing it today. The politicians and educators are trying to tell us this mumbo jumbo, that what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me. It's ridiculous. I have a few other words, but I'll keep them to myself. It's foolish. Truth is truth.
Amen.
Lies are lies. Has been stated through a process that through a process of refining, truth becomes purer and clearer. How can that be? It cannot be so. Truth is truth, or it is not truth. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Truth is true, or it is not true. Humanism has claimed that truth is relative. What do they mean by that? As we said earlier, truth's relevant in a sense that what might be truth for me may not be truth for you. Don't we see it permeating every area of our society? Every area of our culture is being contaminated, is being defiled by this idea that there is no truth, that truth is relative. And they throw out this as an antiquated old book that does not apply. Why do they want to do that? Because they do not want to become answerable to the truth. What they're saying is I'm above that truth. In fact, they've got to the place now where they say, I don't have the right to claim this book is true. That it's bigoted to claim the Bible is true. Why? Because I want to be my own God. I want to be in charge. Well, I guess if they get their own world, they can be in charge. But in this universe, God is in charge. And what God says is so. His truth is without change. And if that's not so, where do we find truth? Is that not why our society is so cast adrift? There's no moorings in our society anymore. No place. I know. I know that this white hair is evidence that I'm an old geezer. Guess what? I don't care. You say, preacher, you're nothing but a dinosaur. So be it. But I'm not extinct yet. There's still some folks around that believe
Amen.
The truth.
Right.
That God, hey, God has the right to declare what is true and what is false. Are we mindful that He's the one that spoke this universe into existence? It's His. By the way, you belong to Him. Whether you're saved or not, you're His creature. And I know the world doesn't like this. But He has the right to do with us as He pleases.
Amen.
Oh my. Yeah. Oh my. God's truth does not change. Jesus Christ is Master. He's God.
Amen.
He is Savior. He came to this earth planet and died 2,000 years ago, as we said earlier, to pay the price of our sin. Why do we rebel against that? Rather than praise Him, give Him glory, give Him honor, thank Him continually for what He has given to us. Indeed, because of what He's done for you and for me, I want to live for Him. All my life, hey, I want to live as clean and pure and as holy a life as a saved sinner can live. Huh? And every day, Lord, show me. Show me what needs to go and what I need to build on. I want to live in Your truth,
Amen.
Lord. I want to bring Your truth to bear in my life that I might better live for You. Yes, God's truth, beloved, is absolute. God's truth is absolute. Truth isn't dependent upon time or place or circumstances. It's therefore never relative. As we said earlier from Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Get those words. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Just three things here about that. Forever. God's truth is beyond time. God's truth is not subject to time. Settled where? In heaven. It's settled in heaven. What happens here on this earth planet does not change His truth. Huh? Earth has no effect upon God's truth. It says it's settled. It's settled. It means it is established. It means circumstances are not going to change it. Isn't that what we hear? You know, you're from a different time. Where a couple generations ago, yeah, it was different. A couple generations ago, more people believed the truth than do today. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word, Thy truth is settled in heaven." Wow. With all that said, this standard of truth has been taken from its proper place. This world and Satan, even flesh of man, is trying to remove the truth from its proper place. We're told that there are indeed no absolutes. No absolutes. Right and wrong are not determined by a set standard. They're determined by the situation. Can you apply that to anything that's going on in our world? in our country even. A lot of things. I'm the one that decides what's true and false. Hey, you even get to decide what gender you want to be today. Maybe it'll change tomorrow. What's true tomorrow is, it's where we're at, isn't it? Nothing's real anymore. But what you decide. Well, I feel. Isn't that it? Isn't that just, I feel. Doesn't matter what you feel. That does. If you feel a certain way about the number one, can you change what the number one is? Dylan, you did good to keep a straight face. Huh? We don't. Do we change? Well, I just don't think that passage of Scripture applies today. We hear that a lot amongst liberal, and I say this kindly, amongst liberal theologians and branches, I have a hard time saying it, of Christianity. Well, I just don't think that applies today. Well, who decides that? For you or I to decide that means we're displacing God and plugging ourselves in there to decide what's true and false. I don't think I want to put myself in that place. I have no right to be in that place. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Yes. Yes. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." How long? To all. How many? All generations. How long is this book going to be true? Forever. Forever. When did it become true? It's always been true. It's always been the truth. Again, we're living in a generation that has cast aside God's truth in favor of man's imagination. What's he got? It boils down to this. Whatever man comes up with tomorrow, well, maybe that's true. Am I exaggerating? I don't think I'm even exaggerating that. Man has become his own standard of truth. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Well, let's just get together and vote and decide what's true and what's... That doesn't work either. Why doesn't that work? I thought that was democracy. Actually, we don't have a democracy in these United States. We have a republic. For good reason. Because a pure democracy degenerates into... Get this, listen... The mob rules. Our framers were geniuses. We do not want mob rules. Because you and I could hold our own little meeting here and go down through this divine book and say, well, let's keep that. And, yeah, we all... All in favor? Crazy, isn't it? It's God's Word. God gave us, His creatures, His Word. And just as those earthly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are here to receive it, not judge it. To receive His truth. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. just like old believing my old lying tape rule that fell apart. Believing a lie has consequences. Believing a lie concerning your eternal soul will have eternal consequences. Grieves my heart when I hear the foolishness of our day. Studying the different cults and what they teach and these false religions and their standard of what quote-unquote salvation is. Guarantee this. Human religion, man-made religion, will always give you something to do. Human religion will always give you something to do, and it gives you something to do that you can feel so good about. Look what I've done! Well, biblical Christianity, biblical salvation is what? Not what we do, but what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ. For by grace, what? For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves.
Amen.
It is what? The gift of God, not of works. And here's the kicker. Lest any man should boast. Huh? We stand before our God in glory as the redeemed children of God.
Amen.
What's the song say? Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling. Huh? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful? Lord, folks, I rejoice that there's truth. I'm not here to give movie reviews. Did you see the movie list? The latest movie? And talk? What a bunch of foolishness. I'm not turning on the late show to hear what some joker from Hollywood thinks about stuff. I want to hear from God. And I'm thankful. He's given us truth. Let's stand together. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're thankful for the truth that is ours in Him. Thankful that He was willing to leave the portals of glory and take upon Himself flesh and blood to become the very living truth and walk amongst us. Thankful, Father. And He went to that cross, laying down His life, shedding His blood to pay the price, the wages of our sin. Thankful, Father, that even standing behind this desk today, I have the great privilege to declare the truth. Father, I pray, I'm asking You in that lovely name of Jesus. Lord, I don't know who might be here today and is yet without that peace, that confidence, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know if any man, any woman, any young person here and within these walls doesn't have that hope of eternity in their hearts. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, pray that You might draw them to the truth. To Your Son, to Jesus. And Father, I pray for every Christian, every believer that has received the truth and been set free by that truth. We wouldn't waver in our stand for the truth. We wouldn't allow the world to dissuade us from the truth. That we, Father, would take up the truth as You have given it to us and declare it. Declare it, proclaim it to this, darkened, sin-darkened and confused, chaotic world. Lord, please, use this preacher, use this people, that we would walk in the truth, declaring the truth, standing for the truth. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 161.
As we sing, the altars are open. They're here for you. Whatever the need might be, whatever God might be saying to your heart today, please, please obey Him. Do what He'd have you to do. I'm grateful that we have a life-changing, soul-cleansing God. Pray that He would be pleased to work in our hearts and lives. Thank Him for the truth. As we say,
softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
You don't know how thankful I am that I stand behind this desk, service after service, and don't have to come up with some worldly, human wisdom to help my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful. God has given us truth.
Amen.
Truth for our salvation. Truth for our life. Truth to live by. And for His glory. I'm thankful. I serve a truthful God. Amen. Amen. Brother John, come please.
Let's be dismissed with our course. Oh, victory in Jesus.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory.